Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Oh. Is this too loud? Is this too loud? Is this too loud? Is this too loud? Well, that was clearly too loud. To be perfectly honest with you, this should work now. I should be able to talk. If I turn it off. On. Does this make it any better? Oh, maybe. No. Fuck. I don't get it. I don't. Get it. Well, welcome to the Fuck a Diet podcast, or whatever it's called, the Fuck a Diet Radio. I'm your host, Caroline Dooner. I'm using my amazing microphone. And... I'm just gonna have to talk softly, delicately, softly. I don't know what episode this is because I've lost count, but what I do know is that I'm going to read my latest blog post and talk a little bit about, health from this perspective, from the fuck a diet, health at every size, anti-diet, normal eating perspective. And, I just want to say that if you're in the throes of orthorexia, it's possible that, I don't think that this will be triggering. I don't. But it's possible that the things, it's very possible that the things that I talk about in this podcast, in this episode, are not for you right now. They're not what you need to be focusing on. And I'll get into that. I'll explain it all. I'm going to give my perspective on health, essentially, now that I have neutralized my relationship to food and the purity of food and eating the perfect diet, as if that was possible or as if that exists, and weight, neutralized my relationship to weight and had health and weight and food and weight feel really separate, as they should be. And then kind of the energy and neutrality with food and body and weight and health that freed up, which actually allowed me to do the healing of my chronic health issues that I've always had, which is one of the reasons that I became orthorexic in the first place. It's really with this new perspective, after many, many years of committing to kind of imperfection and letting go of health perfectionism, it's allowed me to come full circle in a way that I think is interesting and applicable to those of you who are maybe further along on this journey, or who long to be further along on this journey and also know that they have their own chronic health issues. Not everybody has chronic health issues, so this may not apply to you at all. And with that, I'm going to read this post. And as usual, I don't have it queued up, so we have to go to thefuckadiet.com, not thefuckadiet.com, as I was about to say. Click on blog. And as of today, which is April 22nd, Earth Day, 2017, the latest post is TFID, which is the fuck a diet, and chronic illnesses. So, I wrote, I have wonderful news. I have mercury poisoning. Bear with me. This post is for people with deep-seated health fears or people who deal with chronic health issues. One of the reasons I was obsessed with dieting and weight, besides inheriting our cultural collective obsession with weight, was my health. I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, as a teenager, which is a hormonal syndrome said to be caused said to be caused by conventional medicine. I'm sorry, I'm losing my words right now. Said to be caused, according to conventional medicine, Western medicine, by insulin resistance and poor eating, weight gain, sugar. They don't really know what causes it, which was my first clue that they were off on the cure too, because the cure is all things that mask symptoms. And they also tell you and told me as a teenager to keep my weight down, and that was the way that I was supposed to be controlling or whatever this health thing. It can cause the following, any number of the following, and some and not other of others. Does that make sense? It can cause imbalanced hormones and cycle, infertility, weight gain, obesity, poor skin, acne, high androgens, excess hair, diabetes, and the list goes on and on and on. And different people have some symptoms and not others. That's what I was trying to say earlier with it can cause some, I don't even know what I said. But anyway, at 14, I was told to keep my weight down by dieting. Most people are instructed to manage this syndrome through weight obsession. They don't call it weight obsession, of course, but that's exactly what they mean. Among other pharmaceutical drugs, like they'll put you on the pill to give you your cycle, but obviously it's not healing anything. It's just kind of jogging and masking what's going on. So for a solid 10 years, I tried. I really, really tried. I went on every diet under the sun, including raw veganism, paleo, the GAPS diet, Atkins was the first one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on and on and on and on. I committed every ounce of my being to these diets. My ever-present, since childhood, binge eating was my sworn enemy, and I was convinced that it was the reason for my health problems. I thought that if I could only control my binging, that I would become skinny and healthy and maybe even ascend this earth. I don't know. So if you've read this site before or listened to this podcast before, you'll probably know that the Fuck It Diet was an epiphany that I had on my 24th birthday. So that was, you know, 10 years after the original diagnosis that I had. And my epiphany was that I was never, ever going to be happy or healthy if I continued my fixation on food, that I was ruining my metabolism by restricting carbs and being afraid of food and going on diets that I then eventually binged and just never felt normal. I always felt fixated on food. And that I needed to let go of my fear of, obsession with, and my attachment to weight. I needed to let go of that in order to become anything close to normal with food. And that that was the only healthy way forward for me at that point. It was at this point that I decided to let go of my search for a health cure. I knew that the Fuck It Diet was my current necessary path. I just knew. There was no other option. There was no possible way that I could continue going forward being happy and healthy. There was just no way. I knew that the answer was a radical surrender and letting go of this perfectionism with food and weight and health. So at this point, I still suffered from irregular cycles, acne, acne and bad skin, because I don't know why, but they sort of can be two different things. Insomnia, some muscle twitching, very low minerals and magnesium, which is a cause of muscle twitching sometimes, some excess hair, and chronic fatigue. And I didn't realize I had chronic fatigue until I like really thought about it. And I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I guess if this is what chronic fatigue is, I haven't. But anyway, in order to heal my relationship with food, I was letting go of health perfectionism. I was just letting it be. I was letting go and letting go of this health perfectionism, of this need to figure out a cure or make my life and health all better, was really an incredibly helpful part of the Fuck It Diet. And I could not have done it without that piece. So that is still something that I highly recommend, going through that process for as long as that needs to happen. And for me, it was years. I set a general intention that if at any point there was something that I should be doing or following in terms of my health, that I would follow any guidance. And I did here and there when it came up throughout the fuck it diet. But for now, I knew that the thing I needed to do was to heal my fucking relationship with food and with weight. And for 5 years, that's what I did. And I wrote about it. And it's become what is now the fuck it diet. And I stand by it 100%. It healed my mind and my heart, and in many ways, it allowed me to surrender to the slow path that would heal my body in the order that it was meant to happen, mentally, physically, emotionally, etc., etc., etc. Because of the fuck it diet, I've normalized my relationship with food. I've stabilized my weight. I've learned that weight and health have very little to do with one another, thanks to Linda Bacon's work, Health at Every Size and Body Respect. I was finally normal with food. I was eating normally. I was craving really great and varied food, and my health improved. It did. I slept better. I could metabolize carbs and other foods better. I had no hypoglycemia. And the more I did it, I had heightened intuition with food. Oh, whoa. I had heightened intuition in general, and I had heightened food intuition. And not only that, but my weight had stabilized low. So I pretty much was a thin version of myself. And that is because I have a low genetic weight set point. I just do. I was always thin as a child, and my mother is thin, and it's just the way that I have always been. Of course, besides the more extreme yo-yoing that I did. But the interesting thing here for me is that I previously thought that being thin and eating normally would be the cure to my health. I thought that being thin would be the cure to my health, and I was sort of led to believe that, but it wasn't. I still knew that I wasn't fully healthy. I still suffered from insomnia. I did sleep better on the fuck it diet than I did when I was dieting and had a low metabolism, but I still had like anxiety with sleeping. I still had reactive skin. And more recently, like in the past, you know, even more in the past, I would say 2 or 3 years, I really stopped being able to drink alcohol. And this is partially because I cut back anyway. And so I became more sensitive to how my body felt when I did drink it. What else was I going to say? Obviously, I'm going off script. I'm not reading this post at this point because I'm trying to remember all the reasons that I stopped being able to drink alcohol as well. Because I started to be, I also started to get a lot more intuitive and in tune with my body. So I was able to really feel when I was off and not. And I have, for the past couple years, sensed a lot of congestion in my liver. I'll take a couple sips of alcohol and my liver immediately feels not good, right? Like actually in my body. And I knew that it wasn't from my eating. My eating through the course of the fuck it diet, the more normal with food I became, the less I thought about food, the less I worried about food, the less I fixated on food, and the more I fed myself really amply, lots and lots of food that I wanted. I knew that my eating actually was better and more intuitive than ever. But something just wasn't quite right with health, and this has always been the case for me. And I have said for years that it's something environmental. That was my inherent feeling of what actually is the cause of PCOS, what's like the root cause underneath all of the symptoms, maybe of insulin resistance or whatever else, even though they say that insulin resistance is the cause. I don't believe it. But I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what to do about it. I had surrendered to, hey, this might just be my lot in life, and I'm going to do the best that I can with it. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to eat well, and I'm going to eat what I want, and I've healed my relationship to food and weight, and I'm going to, just make my life as good as I can, and I did. I surrendered to maybe just being a little chronic fatiguey and ruddy skinned and having an irregular cycle for my whole life. And I realized that my life was great even if my health was not excellent. This was a great source of liberation for me. I really do recommend and what's the word? This is a big part of the fuck it diet, essentially. This is kind of an essential part of the fuck it diet, letting go of this need to perfect and figure everything out all the time. However, in the last year, I was pulled to work with a certain natural doctor who specializes in chronic illnesses. There are many different natural doctors who specialize in many different things, and some more in chronic illnesses than others. The first time we worked together, she asked me if there was anything I was unwilling to do. And I said, I'm not willing to go on a diet. And I sort of explained my relationship with food and the fuck it diet. And I said, I mean, unless you're positive that it will actually help, that the thing that you recommend to me or the thing you tell me to eat or not eat will actually help. I eat really intuitively, and I'm just not willing to do anything arbitrary unless you're positive that it's something that I need. And she said, nope, that's totally fine. Totally didn't faze her. It seemed like a not big deal. And she hadn't talked about food at all anyway, so I said, great. I have since tested very high for mercury. Mercury is both from environmental sources, it's everywhere. And I inherit it from, I most likely, at least initially, inherited it from my mother and grandmother's mercury amalgams in their mouth and their teeth. It can be passed in utero and often is. I also tested for parasites, which most people have and think they don't because we think we're immune because we live in such a clean world, which we don't. We think we're above parasites in first world countries, and we're not. And if you have any sort of toxicity, for instance, for mercury, like for me, it can actually create an amazing home for parasites. And they often come together. I also have many low-grade chronic infections. An example of that is Epstein-Barr. These are chronic viruses, and some of these are also from cavities in my jaw that are left by a huge amount of dental work that I had done in high school. So this is all this very specific way of looking at chronic illnesses and all of the things that can affect it. These are all things that can impair your immune system, which puts you in this cyclical kind of pattern. Basically, I have an overload of stuff, and I have a less efficient genetic detoxification capability. It's all currently more than my liver can handle alone without getting a little help to get it going. And not only that, but my intuition was spot on because my blood test just came back with high liver enzymes, which means that my liver is a little damaged. And it is a chicken egg situation. It's damaged because of the overload, and then it can't handle or process the overload because it's damaged. And I wrote here, why am I sharing this? Am I trying to scare you? Hell no. I know that people with orthorexia and who have their own fears of the purity of the world and purity of food are going to be a little bit, you know, scared about this because it may have been something that has caused them a lot of stress and obsession before. But I am sharing this because it has nothing to do with food. My health has had very, very little to do with food. Unless you count mercury in fish, which again, like most things, is fine if you're not already overloaded. You can also always take a heavy metal binder like chlorella or spirulina when you eat fish, and it helps your body to process it out and bind to it so it doesn't get stored in your body. But all of my health problems have nothing to do with food, and basically never have. The cure also has nothing to do with food. All of my supplements that I take from working with this natural doctor are to help my body process and detoxify better and to support my immune system, support the places in my body and the functions in my body that are not, that need help. Basically, food is the least of our problems, unless, of course, our relationship with food is messed up. Because once you eat normally, food is most likely not the thing causing health problems unless it's a very acute allergy, which honestly is often caused by more underlying things. meaning if you have chronic health problems, you can heal without dieting. And in my opinion, the fuck it diet is still your best bet. All the health stuff and body support that I'm doing now, I would never have been able to do any of it while I was still petrified of food and health and weight. I just couldn't. And I really do, you know, at this point, when I actually pay attention to what I'm eating and I look at it, I'm like, wow, I'm eating in a way that I never, that would have felt like constricted, and it would have felt, like I, you know, had to eat. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I crave foods that are very good for me right now. Whereas before, if I was eating the same way, it would have been all stress, all control, all what's good, what's bad, what's better, what's better. Is this really, should I not eat beans? Blah, blah. Who the fuck cares? You know what I mean? Okay. And just to make sure, though, about my liver, I asked my amazing doctor, okay, so my liver is damaged. So are you sure that I don't need to change my diet and do anything else? Because I am, like, of course I don't want to, and I want you to tell me that it's not to do with diet at all, but if that is a part of this, I'm open to it, and I'm willing to hear it. I don't want my view and belief in the fuck it diet to be my Achilles heel. And she was like, no, don't worry, just keep taking the supplements that we talked about and doing the things that we discussed. So essentially she was like, calm down. No, it's not. That's not the thing. Food is not the issue here. And the things that we discussed for liver, taking glutathione and doing castor oil packs, etc., etc. I share this to tell you that if you have chronic health issues and feel afraid or dysfunctional with food because of it, you can and should still go on the fuck a diet. Isn't that excellent? I'm going to sneeze, guys.
Oh, God.
I will update. See, I'm so sick. And then I said, I will update from my couch while I do a castor oil pack and eat cheese. Somebody in the comments, first, somebody said, I'm confused about I slept better and I still suffer from insomnia, because I said both of those things. So I sort of tried to explain that as I read it. Whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, the fuck it diet made me sleep better than I did before, but I still didn't sleep as great as I knew that I should if I actually didn't have anything going on. And then somebody asked for the name of the natural doctor that I used. And so I added to the article, oh, I'm going to sneeze again, guys. I said, people have reached out to me asking what natural doctor I started working with. I am working with Dr. Christine Schaffner, who trained with and works with Dr. Klinghart at the Sophia Health Institute in Seattle. And no, I'm not in Seattle. We talk on the phone. She orders labs for me and different things, and I do them over here, and they're sent to her, and we discuss, blah, blah, blah. Dr. Klinghart's work and views on chronic health issues really resonate with me. I live across the country for them, so I have phone consults. Oh, I didn't realize I said this. I also started working with someone near me as well who trained with Dr. Klinghart. I would be careful to mention your need to not focus on diet and your healing from disordered eating if you start working with a natural doctor, especially if you're just in the beginning of healing your relationship to food and weight. So, essentially, this is going to be a short episode. I don't know how long it is, but I just wanted to get this out there on the podcast. I know some people like to listen to the blog. Oh, God. Listen to the blog and read the podcast. I know some people like to listen, some people like to read, but not everybody has chronic health problems. Some people just have food issues, you know. Some people really just have food issues because of a weight obsession, and some people have food issues because of a weight obsession and because of a health crisis or a health obsession or fears about health and purity. And so I want to be able to address both. I do think that, you know, this is very, very much, I think, kind of phase two of the fuck it diet a couple years down the line. I think it's almost certainly too much to ask somebody who is very, very newly trying to navigate food that they were afraid of, and then start talking about toxicity, because that is a thing that is very scary and triggering for people who have been orthorexic. So this is, first of all, only applies to people who do feel that they have some chronic stuff going on, and also only applies to people further down the line. So I just want to kind of put that in anyone's ear who maybe is in the beginning and understands that this is not you giving up on your health. It's just not. For a couple of reasons. One, you become more into, the more you normalize food, the more you eat all of these foods that are quote unquote bad for you and that you've been afraid of and that are decadent or whatever, whatever reasons you were afraid of them for health or weight reasons, the more you eat them, the more they are normalized, the more you can have a completely intuitive, neutralized relationship with it, where your body is really leading the way and your fixation with food is not stemming at all from denial or actual low metabolism from physically or mentally restricting. So it is in your best interest if you want to become as intuitive as possible with food, which means you still are allowed to eat whatever you want day to day, moment to moment, meal to meal, snack to snack. But if you really want to be able to tell what you need and what tastes good and all of that, the fuck it diet is the only way that ever worked for me. The next thing is, if you do feel that in your future may possibly lie some big, you know, healing from some of the crazy things that I mentioned, first of all, it can all be done with supplements and with feeding yourself normally and well in a way that feels good for you. And it doesn't have to be now. It couldn't have been a couple years ago for me. It just couldn't have been. I couldn't have done this in the beginning of the fuck it diet. But it might have been nice to know that once my relationship with food was normal and weight was normal, that I could explore some other ways to support my body to heal some things that have been going on for a long time. And I don't think I could have done it in the other order. Believe me, I tried and it made me go insane and it made me start the fucking diet and write about it. So I hope that this is helpful for people. And I hope that it can apply to you, whether you feel like you know what I'm talking about or not. And with that said, I don't think I have any announcements that I want to make right now. It's the start of spring. I'm actually, I'm 1 week down into rehearsals for a show in Philadelphia, which is something that I don't do all of the time anymore, but when I do, it's really fun, and the fuck it diet sort of gets put on the back burner. Meaning my writing and keeping up with everything. And I'm running Fucketeer Academy right now, but Fucketeer Academy is going to be going through a little shift as well halfway through this calendar year. So in the beginning of July, it's going to be, oh my God, Caroline, whoa, what the heck? I blame Mercury. it's going to become, Fucketeer Academy is going to become cheaper, and I'm going to be taking away one of the calls. There's going to be a Q&A every month, and there's going to be energy work every month, and other than that, it's sort of just going to be, it's going to be cheaper and it's not going to build on itself. So I'm going to take away the monthly themes. I'm actually going to put the monthly themes into the free newsletter. So you'll be getting content no matter what. And we're going to be talking about limiting beliefs, both in the free content in the newsletter and also in Fucketeer Academy, but it's just going to be a little bit cheaper and a little bit, less stuff each month, but I think it's going to suit everyone really well. I think it's going to suit me well, and I think it's going to suit you well. So look out for more updates about that. Puppeteer Academy is still happening right now, but it's $50 a month and I have these monthly themes and I'm going to be changing that over in July. Anyway, guys, you're amazing. Probably. I don't know you, but I imagine that you could be and probably are amazing. So I will talk to you the next time I do a podcast, and honestly, it probably won't be till June. Let's be honest. This show might be the death of me. All right. I will talk to you the next time I talk to you. Thank you for listening, and see